This is KNBA News. I'm Jocelyn Estes. The Federal Subsistence Board has voted to change the process it uses to determine if a community is rural and eligible for subsistence priority. At issue is the question of who gets to hunt and fish when there's a resource shortage. The proposed changes will go to the Secretaries of Interior and Agriculture for their consideration, so wouldn't be implemented for months, if not a year or more. But the changes would set a new direction. The changes the board adopted follow the majority view in some 500 public comments submitted at hearings held in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and regional hub communities across the state. Deborah Cooper, Associate Regional Director for the National Park Service Alaska Office, reminded other board members of potential consequences of adopting one suggestion that came up over and over, that is, to loosen the criteria for rural designation.
Those that truly rely on a subsistence way of life and a traditional way of life will be harvesting from a much more pressured, a resource with many more pressures. I just want us to be cognizant of that.
Still, the first change the board made is to presume that a community is rural unless the board determines it is not, rather than the other way around, as it is now. But the board also installed safeguards to maintain balance. Current regulations make population a major factor and require a review of a community's rural status after the U.S. Census every 10 years. Wayne Owen, a wildlife and subsistence management director for the U.S. Forest Service, came up with the list of four other changes the board ultimately adopted.
1. Eliminate the decennial review. 2. Eliminate population standards.
Under current rules, smaller communities could be aggregated or grouped together with a close-by neighbor and deemed non-rural, which happened to Point McKenzie near Wasilla, and communities around Homer, Kenai, and Ketchikan, decisions that were then put on hold pending review of the rural determination process. Again, Wayne Owen.
3. Accept the current non-rural aggregations as they are currently, with the exception of the communities that are currently in abeyance.
Owen's changes addressed reconsideration of the earlier determinations.
For the communities that are currently in abeyance, have the RACs, the regional advisory committees, provide a recommendation as to whether those communities in abeyance should be rural or non-rural, and bring those recommendations back to the board for a vote.
Regional advisory councils had commented the board was not making use of their extensive knowledge about communities in their regions, and the board had received many comments that reviews stir up a lot of fear and anxiety in communities and are pointless if the character of the community has not changed.
4. All future changes should be initiated by either the RACs or the board based on local changes in the communities, not some, you know, not population, not, you know, decennial reviews, but by change conditions on the ground.
The village of Saxman is one of the communities that was aggregated with Ketchikan and designated non-rural. Saxman has fought the designation ever since. Saxman tribal leader Lee Wallace says the fight was necessary for what villagers anticipate is in their future.
We're hearing things on the Yukon and Kuskokwim, you know. For generations, years, thousands of years, there have been salmon going up there, and now they're saying, well, there's not even enough to have an opening. So, you know, change is coming, and it's not good, and you just got to be prepared for that.
The board had considered voting to reinstate Saxman's rural status at this week's meeting, but realized more public notice was needed. Still, it did take a straw vote to give Saxman an indication of where the board is headed. In the straw vote, board members reinstated Saxman's rural status. The Alaska legislature has approved legislation that would allow village public safety officers in Alaska to carry guns. The bill passed the House on a unanimous vote on March 10th and was approved unanimously by the members of the Senate on Wednesday. And the Alaska House yesterday passed a bill that would symbolically make 20 Alaska Native languages official state languages. The bill now heads to the Alaska Senate, where it's already scheduled to be heard in the State Affairs Committee today. And I have a correction to yesterday's newscast. I gave the wrong name for Greg Rosenichka, who is filling in for the Regional Advisory Council representative from the YK Delta. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.